Welcome, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. This is Brother Jimmy Fortunato, and you're listening to a sermon from the Pilgrim Baptist Church in Tennessee. For more information about our church, please visit us on the web at pilgrimbaptist.church. Let's open our Bibles to Ephesians chapter number 1, please. Ephesians chapter number 1. We are a brand new church plant here to Cookeville, Tennessee, and I thought it'd be fitting for our first Sunday morning service to answer the question, what is the church? Let's get Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 16 we'll start at. And the Bible says, "Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ, when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all." Jesus Christ is the head of all things, and Jesus Christ is the head of the church. The church is His body, and that's the major theme that I want to come away with this morning, is that Christ's body is the church. The church is not a building. It wouldn't even be 100% accurate to say the church are the people. The church is the body of Christ of which people are made up of. I believe that would be a more biblical way to express that. Christ and His church are the fullness of God. You really want to experience the fullness of God and Jesus Christ as the head of the church, you want to be a part of that. And also we see in this passage, look at verse number 21 again. The Bible says, "Far above all principality and power and might and dominion." And Jesus Christ, without His dominion of the church, it would be incomplete. Jesus Christ has the dominion over His church. The church is His body. It's the fullness of God. It's the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's get 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. We can have ideas, and some of those ideas are good, and we can have opinions, and some of those opinions actually bring some unique insight into a situation. And we can have strongly held beliefs, convictions, and standards, and those aren't necessarily bad things. But if any of those things trump what the Bible says, that's when we get into shady water. So we always want to line up whatever our thoughts, opinions, or ideas are. We want to filter them through what the Bible says. And that's what Pilgrim Baptist Church plans to do. We want to give you what the Bible says. And then anything else out there, if it doesn't line up with the Bible, we either have to change it, amend it, or throw it out. But we can't amend the Bible to fit opinions, ideas, or whatever it is. The Bible has to be able to correct and change us. And in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, Very simply put, starting at verse number 12, two simple verses. For as the body is one, and hath many members. How many bodies do you have, kids? One. How many fingers do you have?
Two.
How many arms do you have?
Two.
Two. How many legs do you have?
Two.
How many bellies do you have?
One.
But you have one body, right? But it's made up of many different members. Okay? And all the members of that one body, being many, are one body. So also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. And then it goes on from there. When you and I trust Jesus Christ and Him alone for the salvation of our soul, we are baptized into the body of Christ. And we are made part of that body. All of us today, one body. But we have many different members. Many different gifts God has given us. But we are part of the body of Christ. And that is really an essence of what biblical Christianity should look like. We're one body in Jesus Christ, and that body is made up of many members. My hand doesn't beat up my foot, and my foot doesn't kick me in the face, and my head doesn't headbutt me in the gut. It gets along so that everything functions the way it ought to. What is the church? It's one body with Jesus Christ as the head. And those many members of those of that body is working for the same common goal. Look, we've got a Savior that has dominion, and we want to honor and glorify Him. You awake, kids? If you're awake, say, I'm awake.
I'm awake.
All right, Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians 5. What is the church? Who is the head of the church? Ephesians 5:23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be their own, be to their own husbands in everything. And then it goes on from there. And we're not going to spend a lot of time preaching on husbands and wives this morning. That's not the purpose of the message. But the husband is the head of the wife. So there has to be a leader of the home. That doesn't mean we insert our ideas of whatever we think, whatever's running through our head at the time. That doesn't mean it's in the Bible. It just means it's in our head. And so when it says the husband is the head of the wife, that doesn't mean the husband should, chain his wife up and not allow her to leave the house. And he's the head and he's going to tell her every single thing to do. And she can't think without getting written permission. And that might happen in some homes, but when you read the Bible, even if you've seen that happen, have experienced that happen, or have heard that that has happened, you can't add that into the passage and think that that has any context. The husband is the head of the wife. He's to lead. He's to guide. He's to love. He's to sacrifice. He's to lay down his life. Even as Christ did for the church. Why on earth would the church want to have any other head? Because no other head has done as much for us as members of the body of Christ than Jesus Christ. That's what we have to wrap our heads around. Jesus Christ paid it all. He is the one who laid down His life. And He is the one who has dominion over the church. And I gladly want to serve a Savior like that. The same way a wife would gladly want to serve a husband like that. Problem is, it's hard for us to measure up to that. Nonetheless, that is certainly what you can read into the passage, that the husband needs to start anteing up his leadership so that he can lead his home as Christ leads and is the head of the church. The last takeaway from this is verse 23. What is the church and who is the head? Christ is the head of the church. Point blank. He is the Savior of the body. That means the pastor isn't the head. He's used of God. That means the deacons and elders don't run the church. That means any type of bylaw, constitution, article of faith, any of that doesn't run the church, isn't the head of the church. Jesus Christ is. And all that we do in our actions, in our thoughts, in our words, in our deeds, in our bylaws, anything we write down on our website, it all has to come into scrutiny of the Bible. And if any of that stuff that we get that's wrong, we need to allow the Bible to correct us. All right, let's go over to verse number 30. Ephesians 5, verse 30. We're down to verse 30. The Bible says, well, let me ask the question and I'll read the verse. How do you become a member of the church? Verse number 34, we are members of His body, of His flesh and of His bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself. That's hard to do. And the wife see that she reverence her husband. Probably equally hard to do if the ladies were to testify. What do you do when you get married? You leave your fleshly birth. You leave that first birth. You leave that natural relationship, that fleshy natural relationship with your parents. And what do? You're joined to husband and wife are joined together. You leave that union and you come into a new union as husband and wife. Spiritually speaking, we come into union with Jesus Christ. We have a spiritual birth. We're baptized by the Holy Spirit spiritually, but the marriage is a picture of the believer in Jesus Christ. We leave what we had spiritually, and we come into union with Jesus Christ. Remember, the church isn't the people, it's Christ, the body of Christ. How many of us have strong wills? Me, I have one. I have opinions. Just, you can ask my wife, and any guy that's married, you can ask his wife. And all the wives will say the same thing. Yes, my husband's opinionated. Of course he is. He's a man. We are bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, made a member of his body. Jesus Christ is the foundation. And we can't trump Christ as the head with our opinion, our will, even if it's strongly held or fervently argued for. If you're a guy, you like to argue, sure we do. But our arguments have to be filtered through what the Bible says. What should people expect at Pilgrim Baptist Church to become a member of the church? If the only thing biblically necessary for membership in the church is to become one with Christ through salvation in Jesus Christ alone, why do man-made documents created by churches that might have good intentions add other things to that when the Bible doesn't add to that? Become a member of the church, you must be born again. God's Word has to have the final say. His opinion matters most. And what do we have? We have a universal church. That's everyone, statewide, nationwide, worldwide, that have put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a universal church. We're not going to run the verses on that. We're just going to say it this morning. And then those that are part of that universal church then do what? Gather locally as a body of believers in a church locally. And we would call that the local church. Both are there. Both are true. Both are biblical. But the fear that some churches have as we move into this modern day is that doctrinal statements or bylaws or statements of faith or church constitutions or church covenants start to trump what the Bible says. And we can't have documents hold higher ground than God's Word. That's why the Bible says, "Thy Word is truth." We need bylaws. We want to go by the laws. We want to have the protection of the laws. We need certain legal documents. We want to make sure that we have protection for our church members. We want to make sure we're doing things in accord to the law. And all those things are natural. All those things are normal. All those things will need to be done. So Pilgrim Baptist Church is not against that. And none of the members should be against that. We're for making sure we get ourselves lined up legally. But when there are things in those documents that trump what the Bible says, those documents have to be amended and corrected and changed to bring us in better light of God's Word. We can't say a holy prayer over some things that we've written and automatically now we've arrived. And so my plea for Pilgrim Baptist Church, and I know we have a lot of foundational groundwork to lay, but my plea would be that God's Word has the preeminence. God's Word is where our focus is going to be. And His opinion trumps our opinion when our opinion doesn't line up with it. God's will trumps our will. Even though we're guys and we love to, man, we're just strong-willed, we've got to bring our will into line with the Bible. We can't create a hierarchy to try to control people by that hierarchy when it isn't in the Bible. We should be led by the Spirit. Let God's Word lead and guide us. Nothing is scripturally mandatory for church membership except salvation. Except salvation. And we're not getting into church discipline this morning, but unless someone is doing something that would exclude them from local church membership, then that would be a scriptural grounds that way. We're not teaching on that this morning, but nonetheless, it should be just said. Let's get Romans 8. Romans 8. We have to be careful of what we are led around by. In Romans 8, chapter number 14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. But ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." We're not in bondage anymore. We shouldn't be held captive to sin. We shouldn't be held captive to any type of denominational hierarchy. We shouldn't be led captive and have a spirit of bondage to fear again. We're set free. And we should be led by the Spirit of God. That's how a church can grow. Be led by the Spirit of God. And anything that comes our way, let's just line it up with the Bible and go from there. Simple, easy. Ephesians chapter number 3. Ephesians chapter number 3, we'll start at verse 7. Ephesians 3, verse 7. Wherefore I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of His power. One simple sentence and one simple verse. Now check out this long sentence. It runs from verse 8 all the way down to, well, we'll see, I think it's about verse 12 or 13. Unto me, who am less than least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent now that under the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose, which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. Period. That's a lot. That's a mouthful. One sentence. The unsearchable riches of Christ. What did He purpose? We have the confidence. And now verse 13. I want you to look at this. We're going to key in on one thing here. Another long sentence. Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you. This isn't the great tribulation, by the way. You're going through trials and tribulations. You go through that down here. We all do. It's not the great tribulation. Therefore, I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven, the earth, is named, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. The church is made up of those, verse number 14, who have bowed their knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you bowed your knee to Jesus Christ, you're a member of that church, and He wants you to be filled with all the fullness of God. And let's just finish out the chapter. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, we'll finish out with this. Where does the glory go? Not to a man, not to a group of people at a church. Unto Him be glory in the church. Who's going to get glory at Pilgrim Baptist? The Lord Jesus Christ. Unto Him be the glory. Well, what if the preacher's wrong about something? Then he needs to give glory to God and he needs to get back in line with the Bible. What if the people want the glory? Then they're going to have to get in line with the Bible. And unto Him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. That's hard because everybody has an idea and a thought that they put into a spiritual realm. And they believe that that spiritual realm is Bible. That's the hard part of the ministry. That's the hard part of a church. Because I believe any sincere Christian that's saved and born again, they really want to be in God's will. They want to give glory to God. I don't think that everybody should be painted as they're against the Bible and against God, and they're not. They really want to give God glory. And the way they think something through, and they believe they're giving God glory, And that's why it's hard to line up with the Bible. It's hard. Everybody isn't bad intentioned. All right, enough of that. Three more verses. Number one, get 1 Timothy 3. And the question is, where do we find truth? First Timothy 3:15. But if I tarry long, thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave in thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Pilgrim Baptist Church has to stand as the pillar and ground of the truth. Where do you find truth? In the church. We've got to stay on course with that. We're just starting off. We're small in number. We have a lot of work to do. But it's got to be a place where people can get truth, or it's not a church. Because the church is the pillar and the ground of truth. And God says, thy word is truth. Where do you find truth? In the church. All right, Colossians 1. Colossians chapter 1. Who's the head of the church and who should have preeminence? That's the question we will answer. The people shouldn't have the preeminence, or should they? Maybe the preacher should have the preeminence. Or should he? Maybe the sweet ladies that love the Lord and do a lot for Him should have the final say and have the preeminence. Or should they? Should the deacons and elders? Who should have the preeminence? Let's see. Colossians 1, starting at verse 16. For by Him were all things created. I didn't create anything. Certainly can't say I created all things that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. I don't know anybody that's been able to do that. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. I tried to build a tree fort once. That was fun. Fun for the members of my family. And I got it done. It took me a while. But I've tried to create and build things, and they've not really gone so hot. Verse number 17, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. That's Jesus Christ. Verse number 18, and He is the head of the body, the church. I feel better about that. I feel better that Jesus Christ is the head of the church and not me. Just want to be used by Him the same way you want to be used by Him. Who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence? Well, what if we have a fellowship dinner? He should have the preeminence. What if we go out and do evangelism? He should have the preeminence. What if we invite people to church? He should have the preeminence. Nothing should be more preeminent than Jesus Christ, our Lord. Last verse, John chapter 19. Let's start at verse number 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things now were accomplished, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to His mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, He said, it is finished. And He bowed His head and gave up the ghost. That's what Jesus Christ did on the cross. Bowed His head. Gave up the ghost. Nobody killed Jesus at any time. We can't do that. We can't just bow our head and say, okay, we're going to glory. But if you're God, you could. And that's what Jesus Christ did for us. He bowed his head. He finished the cross work, paid our sin debt, and he gave up the ghost. And that's why it says, "For this cause I bow my knees." He bowed his head, gave up the ghost for us, paid it all for us. And all those that bow their knee and trust him as their Savior get him now as the head of the body of Christ. We need to keep that in perspective as Pilgrim Baptist Church goes on for the Lord. Jesus Christ is the head. He has the preeminence. He has the dominion. We filter everything through him. He paid it all for us. I'll gladly serve him and gladly want him to be the head of this local congregation. All right, let's bow in prayer. Lord, we thank you for the cross work you did for us. Thank you for shedding your blood, bowing your head, giving up the ghost, finishing the work. Lord, we gladly want to serve you. We gladly want you to be the head of the church and have all the preeminence and dominion. Lord, would you help us? Help us build your church. The gates of hell, you said, won't prevail against it. We just ask you, Lord. You said you'd build it. We ask you to use us. Use us, Lord. We just pray your blessing over this brand new church start. We just want to do all things pleasing in your sight, Lord. We ask in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Thanks a bunch for listening. For more information about Pilgrim Baptist Church, be sure to visit us online at pilgrimbaptist.church, where you can also send me a personal message or learn more about joining us for a church service. And remember, Christ is all.